We're in Philippians chapter 3. Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter, his heart for the Lord, and he said, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, and then that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And that was Paul's aim and his purpose of life. And he continues in chapter 3 tonight, telling us how he pursued the Lord, that I may know him. How did he do that? And he tells us how he did that. Now, for context, I want to pick it up in verse 7 and move into the verses we'll look at tonight. So chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. So Paul says in verse 12, not that I've already attained. You know, we've read from chapter 1 his heart. We know the Apostle Paul. He's in prison writing this. This is toward the end of his ministry. We know everything that he's done. I mean, he is the Apostle Paul. And then he, last week in first part of chapter 3, he kind of gave his background of being a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all that kind of thing. I mean, he was a spiritual giant. And yet he wants to make sure to tell the Philippians and to tell us, I have not attained. I have not arrived yet, and I have not been perfected yet. In our mind, in our eyes, we think, I mean, he's the Apostle Paul. How can he go any further? And yet, he is a man just like anybody else, and he is a humble man. And he just said, I'm not even close to where I'm supposed to be. I like the way the Living Bible translates it. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And then I also like it in the Phillips translation. Not that I claim to have achieved all this, nor to have reached perfection already, but I keep going on, trying to grasp that purpose for which Christ Jesus grasped me. I like that. And Paul had been in the ministry for 25 plus years when he is writing this. And he had been used to establish churches, to preach the gospel, to evangelize so many different areas. When you read the book of Acts, you know, he went to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Miletus and Corinth and Berea and Thessalonica. And then he in Colossae and Philippi and Ephesus. I mean, the Lord, if he wasn't physically there, the Lord used him in those areas. I mean, he went all over preaching the gospel and pouring his life out for the sake of Christ. God used him doing miracles through him, healing people through him. I mean, just amazing things that that Paul was a part of, and how he was used mightily by the Lord. And even after all of these things, he didn't feel that he had arrived yet. I'm not even close. That, or that he was perfected. And that word perfect, it doesn't mean perfect in the sense that we think perfect. It means I am not spiritually mature to its complete end. I'm not. In other words, I have room to grow. I have room to grow. I am not. I'm just scratching the surface. I am not there yet. Paul said of himself in 1 Corinthians 15 that he was the least of all the apostles. And then he said in Ephesians 3 that he was the least of all saints. And then when he wrote to Timothy, he said that he was the chief of sinners. And that's how he saw himself. He didn't see, we may put him on a pedestal, but he didn't see himself there. He saw himself as a man who needed Christ and needed to continue to grow in Christ. And several years ago, time goes. But when we were in Philippians on Sunday mornings, and Damian went through, and my Bible is full of notes, so a lot of this stuff is from him. There are little notes in my Bible that, which now I have to pull out, even with glasses, a magnifying glass to read it. I don't understand how that works. How can you? I really don't. You have 20/20 vision. You write a little thing. Your glasses are supposed to correct that. And you still can't read it. I don't get it. So, you know, it's the magnifying glass thing. He said, a mark of maturity is to know that we are not yet perfect, nor will we be this side of heaven. That shows maturity in a Christian to know they haven't arrived yet. None of us have. The Apostle Paul had not. In fact, none of our spiritual heroes ever arrived. You know, is that correct English? Until they were face to face with Jesus. While they were on earth, no, they were not perfect. They didn't fully attain all that they could have. Paul wasn't perfect. He hadn't achieved it all. Noah failed. Abraham failed. Moses failed. David failed. All of them. None of them were perfect. Were they godly men, godly women? Yes. And did they move on from their failures? Yes. But they didn't reach that level that we sometimes think people, you know, have reached, or God forbid, that we think we have reached. There's always, always room for growth. Always in our life, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, and no matter how long we've walked with the Lord. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, too, that song that always comes into my mind. The more that I know, the more I know that I don't know. And the more I see the need in me, and the harder I try, the more I know it's you, Lord, and not I. But the longer you walk with the Lord, when you are walking in humility and desiring to be more like him, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you know you just don't know. You've just scratched the surface. And here he is. And he felt the same way. I'm not there yet. And I hope that each one of us recognize our need to continue to grow in all areas. Because we probably sit there and go, boy, I know I'm not perfect. And yeah, you know, but all areas that we don't see ourselves above, that we see there needs to be room for growth. And I hope that none of us haven't gotten stagnant or complacent in our walks. It can happen to anybody. does not matter who you are. But to keep ourselves from that, you keep in the Word and you keep your quiet time with the Lord. And that keeps us moving in the right direction. You know, I don't know how many of you, I don't even know how many people know we have a radio station. Or if you do know we have a radio station, how many people listen to it? Do you listen to it? Okay, good. It's always on in my car. And so, you know, as I'm driving, I'm hearing little snippets, you know. And that's good for me, and it's healthy for me spiritually, because I'm getting a little bit. I mean, I may only get, you know, it takes me about 3 minutes to get to church from my house. So I can get 3 minutes of Greg Laurie or Bob Coy or Mike McIntosh or one of those guys that are on our radio. But those 3 minutes, the Lord speaks to my heart. And then I have noticed in my life that when I make a habit of listening to other Bible studies during the day at some point, and not just little snippets, but longer period of time, I do better in my walk with the Lord. And when I don't, it's not like I haven't backslid, I'm not doing horrible, but I feel fuller. I feel more nourished. Do you know what I mean? And so I get on my elliptical, and I am now in the habit of putting on a Bible study, you know, grabbing a series from somebody and putting that on, and it feeds my soul and it helps my mind. And I have a very nice, long, quiet time in the morning. But this is just that extra little boost, and I do better. I do better. So why in the world wouldn't I want to do that all the time? And yet I get out of the habit of it sometimes. You know, I'll finish that series and then I'll think, oh, I just need to quiet my mind as I'm on the elliptical, you know, kind of a thing. And then you get out of the habit. And then I think, oh, I'll do that again, and then I feel better. You know, does that happen to anybody else? I don't know where I am right now, just a minute, because I have no idea why I went off on that. Anyway, growing. We just need to grow. And what is it in your life that helps you to grow? And then do it. And so you don't stay the same. We should be able to look at our lives tonight and look at last year at this time and see growth and know that we've grown. Okay, because we should always be growing as a Christian. And sometimes it's good to look. We did this at the beginning of the year. You know, you kind of look back at last year and then you see where you have grown. Last week I had the opportunity to have lunch with a friend who I haven't seen in 25 years. And we were newer Christians together, and we sang together in a group, and our girls played together, and you know, we were friends for a few years, and then, you know, we moved here and you just lose contact. And so we got together for lunch, and it was just a little glimpse. Now, I would hope that both of us would have grown after 25 years. Boy, if we hadn't, that'd be pretty sad. But it was very encouraging for me to listen to her and to know how much she has grown. And then for her to listen to me and know how much I have grown, because 25 years ago, her and I used to butt heads a lot because of, we needed a lot of refining, you know, not that we don't still, but it was encouraging. So 25 years, yeah, but what about last year? I need to have grown. So hopefully we can see that in our lives. One of the keys to growth is to recognize that more growth needs to take place, because that will make me do something about it. And Paul knew that he needed to grow, which is why he felt that he needed to press on and to grasp that, and why the Lord had grabbed a hold of him. I want to find out. I want to do your will, Lord. You know, the Lord saves us to do for his good pleasure. Paul's aim and his purpose was to know the Lord, to know Jesus. We talked about that last week. And in knowing him, when we actively seek to know him in that intimate way, we are going to be doing his will and seeking to do his will. And to in seeking him and in knowing him in that way, we are going to be moving forward. We're going to be moving in the right direction. And again, when we add those things to our lives, like those Bible studies or the worship time or extra prayer or those kind of things, it forces us to grow. Because that word is getting in more and the refining is happening, or when I give my life away in service to the Lord, those things push us to grow in him. Now, Paul said, one of the ways that I can press on and know him is by forgetting and then reaching forward. Verse 13. And that word forget or forgetting in the Greek, it means to completely forget. To completely forget. Now, we know that we cannot erase things from our mind. It's not like a computer where you hit delete, and it's gone. It may be more like an email where you hit delete and it goes into the delete thing and you have to go in there and hit that, there's steps. Well, for us, we can't just erase something. There are things that we would like to forget. I don't ever want to have that picture in my mind, that thought in my mind. I don't want that in my mind. And yet they are in there somewhere. And then those things that we want to remember, there it is, gone. I mean, completely gone. I mean, I guess they're in there somewhere, but they're completely gone. But this means that we are to neglect the thought. I like that. So these forgetting the things that are behind, we're to neglect the thought. So if the thought comes in, that little reminder from the enemy or the little reminder from your flesh, we're to neglect it. Don't think about it. We're to choose not to remember. I choose not to remember that. And we are to choose to not let our past affect our present. To not let our past influence us in a negative way that would hinder us from continuing to grow in the Lord. So those things that are in our past, we need to choose not to remember, because if they're going to trip us up, even for 5 seconds or 3 minutes or a half a day or whatever it is, we need to choose not to remember, to just neglect that. In fact, somebody said, I distinctly remember forgetting about that. So if somebody brings something up, or if the enemy brings something up, you can say, look, I distinctly remember that I forgot that, and I am not going to think about that. What are we to forget? Well, in this context, as Paul was talking earlier in the chapter about all his accomplishments and really all of his ways that he was self-righteous and trying to earn from the Lord, those are the things that he was to forget. Forget about my education. Forget about all those things that could trip me up. And then also, in his past and in his zeal for the Lord, as he thought he was doing God a favor and he was consenting to the death of Christians and encouraging the death and the imprisonment of Christians, that can be a lot of condemnation. And for him to forget that. Forget that. So we're to forget our past accomplishments or anything in our past, it can be when we were 5 years old as a little girl. It can be when we were a teenager. It can be, 10 years ago. It could be yesterday. This is present. Anything behind that is our past. So we're to forget anything in our lives, choose not to remember, don't dwell on it, neglect the thought, anything that's going to produce pride. So any of those things back there that would puff us up and lead us to believe that we've attained and that we are spiritually there, we need to forget about them. Because we haven't arrived at all. I remember years and years ago when we were on 10th and F, and it was really kind of toward the beginning, because we still had folding chairs, and we would, you know, set up for a potluck, and then you'd have to move the chairs and the tables. There was a lot of setup and everything. And I remember, you know, we had a group of guys that they were great guys, and they would get in there and serve and set up and all of that. And there was this one younger guy who was a part of the fellowship for a while. And I remember watching him watch all the guys set up and tear down and things like that. And I, you know, you just notice certain people. And one time, I was standing there, he came over and started talking to me while all the guys are sweating. They are moving and hustling and moving those chairs and tables and all that. And he said, yeah, you know, this church that I used to go to, we used to set up and we used to, and he just told me all the things that he used to do. And I thought, why aren't you doing it now? Quit living off of your past accomplishments, how you used to serve the Lord and do all these things, and get in there and help. But that has always stayed with me. I don't ever want to live off of my past. Yeah, I used to do that for the Lord. And oh yeah, those were the days that I used to, you know, work in the nursery, and I would do this in the children's church and sing here and do that, you know. What am I doing today? I can't just forget all that stuff. It doesn't do us any good. So just neglect the thought. We are also supposed to forget our past sins and failures. There's a lot of those. There's probably more of those than accomplishments, wouldn't you say? Lots of sins and failures. Anything in our past that would produce condemnation, that would stir up condemnation, because that hinders our growth in Christ. That is a trap, and it can hold us, and it can make us stagnant so we don't move on. 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." I love that verse, because there's a lot of things that I'm not really happy about that I've said, that I've done, attitudes, those kind of things. And if I entertain those thoughts, I can get in the pit and a big pity party, and I am no help to anybody. But when those thoughts come in and this verse has helped, and I say, God is greater, and he knows all things. He knows what was going on with me and what was going on with everybody else. And I need to stand in that. So any past sin or failure that we've gone through, we need to forget those things that are behind. Also, it includes any past sins or failures that somebody else did to us or hurt us. Any of those things, we need to forget and to move on. Anything that can hinder us from moving forward, whether it is going to be something that stirs up pride or stirs up condemnation, we need to neglect the thought, say, no, I remember forgetting that, and I'm not going to think about that. Paul, again, he had a single aim and a purpose, and he was determined to reach for it. And he's forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward. And that means to stretch forth, to stretch after, to lean into the tape. You know, you see those Olympic runners and everything, and I mean, they're just shoulder to shoulder running, and they're gonna, and they just push their shoulder so that they touch the tape first. That's the determination that he's talking about. I am going to forget that, and I am, at the same time, it's, you know, I am going to press, reach, lean into what the Lord has for me. Now, you think about when he wrote this, he's in prison. He doesn't know what the future holds. It could have been death at that time. He doesn't know if he will ever be released to go preach the gospel again, to go back to the churches to see how they're doing. He doesn't know. And what is his attitude? I am moving forward. I am going to lean into the tape. I am reaching forward to the things that are ahead. Most of his life was behind him. Most of his ministry was behind him. And yet he was not going to stop running. This is exhorting to me and encouraging to me that here he is and he's not going to stop. Why would I even give a moment's thought of me wanting to stop? Most everyone is reaching for something in life. They're reaching for careers, they're reaching for position to be the best at whatever it is. And we need to reach for Christ-likeness, to know him, to be like him. And that's what Paul's saying. I am reaching ahead, looking ahead at everything he has for me to do. And that's what I am going to do. And we need to look ahead, and even at circumstances that might come our way that are ahead of us, but we look to Jesus in them, and we look to see how can we be Christ-like in this, and how can I grow through this, instead of just looking at the circumstance and you're screaming or I don't like this or fighting against it. Lord, how are you going to use this one for good in my life? What are we going to do here? I'm going to lean into this and move forward. And he said to press toward the goal, to pursue. That word press there, it means pursue. To just, give it everything he's got. And let me just read 1 Corinthians. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9. He is a disciplined pursuer. A disciplined runner. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. That's how he ran. That's how we're to run. That we are going to win. We need to run to win. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not just beating the air or shadow boxing or, I am, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Discipline. He ran with discipline. He lived his life with discipline. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I beat my body black and blue is what it means in the Greek. I discipline. I do whatever it takes to press on, to keep running. I'm going to set everything aside, as it tells us in Hebrews. Lay aside the sin and the weights that so easily ensnare us, and run with endurance. Run. Everything you've got. Everything you've got. And that's what Paul did. And he was looking, or running for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's very hard for me to say that verse without singing a little song with it. But the goal right there is, it's the finish line. It's that in a race. And it's really hard for me to talk about this because there's so much in it that you want to spend, you want to do a retreat on it, you want to do a conference on it, you want to spend more time on this whole theme of running the race. But we can't do that. So, it's the goal is the finish line. He has his eyes fixed on the prize, fixed on the goal. And he is pressing in to finish that. And is for him, for us, it is to finish life's race and to finish it well. And as Bill McDonald said, perhaps he meant more particularly the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to Jesus. For we must all appear before the judgment seat or the Bema seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So all of us as Christians, it's not this great white throne judgment. It is that a reward seat, the Bema seat, for us to receive those things that we have done. And that's what Paul's talking about. I am keeping my eyes on the goal. I am forgetting the things that are behind. You know, a runner cannot look behind and speed ahead. They're going to trip up if they look behind. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to give it everything I've got, pressing on, looking for that prize. And he may be referring to that crown of righteousness that at the end of his life, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and a time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. So it's promised to us. And he finished his race. He didn't quit. He didn't slow down at all. I know, doesn't knowing this and reading this and hearing about this and studying this, does it stir your heart just to make you want to run harder for the Lord, to press on? Doesn't it do that? Oh, it does that for me. That high calling that Bill McDonald said, it includes all the purposes that God had in mind in saving us. It includes salvation, conformity to Christ, joint heirship with him, a home in heaven, and numberless other spiritual blessings. It is a high calling and a high privilege to be his child and to walk with him, to serve him. There's just no words. He is the best. He is wonderful. He is so gracious to us. And his love just makes you want to love and serve him more and more and more and more. And then Paul went on to say, you know, if those of you who are mature in Christ, who are growing in Christ, let's have the same mind. Let's think the same thing. If you don't, God will show you. But let's all have the same mind, walk in the same mind. And so here we are. We need to continue to grow. Not telling you anything new. We all know that. But he saved us for a purpose. And we need to press on to find out, why'd you lay a hold of me? What do you have for me, Lord? And then let me live that. Let me give my life and pour my life out for you, Lord, and for your good purposes, so that your heart can be work in me and then through me. And I can have the kind of heart like Paul, who would say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and that I might know him, really, really know him. And this is very frustrating for me to stand up here and say all this stuff. It really is. I can't communicate it the way that I want to communicate it. He is so good and has done so much in my life. And I know, not that I have attained at all, or how the more that I know, the more I know I'm a stupid idiot. But I love the Lord, and I want that for every single one. I want us all to grow. I want us all to be growing in the Lord together. And like I said last week, it's just hard to, you just can't, I don't know. I'm going to stop now. I'm going to just pray, and then I'm going to just go home and talk with the Lord about all of this. Lord, thank you that you know all things, and that you are greater. Thank you for your word and the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you how you speak to each one of us, Lord, what you want us to hear. And how in just the quietness of those little quiet moments during the day and during the week, Lord, that you've spoken to us, you've whispered in our ear, you've brought these verses that we've looked at tonight to life in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we would be stirred up and ready to press on. And that if anybody is being tripped up in thinking about their past, Lord, that you would help them to choose to not remember that and to move on. Help each one of us, Lord, just to press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to press on, that we would run this race hard and fast, and that we wouldn't slow down at all, Lord. All glory and power to you. Thank you for coming into our lives and for changing us. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that you go before each one of my sisters, that you would bless their discussion in their groups, Lord. May it just be good and rich and deep. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you.